As we look here this morning, we're going through the book of Revelation, and that idea, revelation, means to reveal, to pull back the pages, like to open up a book and read a book. I hope you've had some good books to read in your spare time, and one of them is the Bible, of course. And as we look here last week, we looked at the glorified Son. John was caught up in the Spirit. And he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ amongst the seven golden lampsticks, which is symbolic of the churches, and the stars, which are the messengers. In your Bible, you have angels. Many expositors believe that means pastors. This is past week. I was very upset and very hurt because there was a church I found out about in Tennessee that it was growing by leaps and bounds. In fact, they were building a building. It was growing so fast. And what happened was, is they found out the pastor was getting a divorce from his wife. It's a tragedy. It happens. That's why he had Jesus, the King, and he was born into this world to die for sinners. When I found out about this, I knew a person, a gentleman that was very close to the pastor, and I said, my goodness, I said, the whole church was taken back by it. And so one of those stars, one of those, that church is now closed down. It's a hollow shell because he wasn't living right. And I've seen churches, just go down the tubes because people aren't living right for the Lord. And so we're looking at this today. We're looking at how somebody can leave their first love. Look, I got it. It's Christmas time. We're all excited about Christmas. We want to be encouraged. And I will encourage you today. But sometimes you have to speak the truth, and always the truth in love. And people need to hear it. And that's why a lot of people don't like coming to church, because they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear about all the good news. They don't want to hear about the gospel news. And so, like talking to Paul this past week, he says, hey, we're still preaching the gospel, right? Paul had been here for over 50 years, okay, for those who don't know Paul. So the gospel means the good news. So John is, looking at these churches, like I said last week, they were all located, all seven churches is referring to it, and Revelation 2 and 3 are located in modern-day Turkey. Ephesus is the most southern part, and actually not far from there is the island of Patmos, right off the shore, where John wrote these words down. Looking at what happened here and now, in the past, and, of course, in the future. And, of course, these seven churches were all located. You could take a loop around like that, and Laodicea would be the last one. So, these churches were all started there, and we'll look at that here in a minute. And John was one of the pastors. You had others that had pastored the church of Ephesus. But you have to understand something. This church of Ephesus has been around for two or three generations. So it had started out as a church of love. And it was expanding. Ephesus, of course, had its problems back in the day. There were over 500,000 people. They had the goddess there of fertility, which was there, Diana. And yet, you had your pagan worship. And you also had false teachers everywhere, because the Jews, they were very jealous of what the church back in the day, because it was growing. It was going places. And so there were issues coming up. But this church in Ephesus was a very strong church. It had the gospel. It was living right, but was missing one thing, and that had left its first love. So Paul praises this church in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So it was a very strong church, a church that was on for fire. You know, we're a few here in number today, but we're on fire for the Lord. We still love the Lord Jesus Christ, like I said before. God does not look at numbers. You know, he looks at hearts. And I remember my pastor told me years ago, I came from a church of 1,500 people. He says, I will guarantee you, when I first went in ministry over 30 years ago, he goes, I think there's quite a few people here who aren't saved. They aren't saved. Because his spirit could not bear witness, but at least they were coming out to church because people knew people who knew people who knew people, right? So Ephesus was a pagan city. It was at the crossroads. So like it is today in this area of Wisconsin, we have a lot of people. This is the crossroads here today. People come and go out from Watertown, through Commonwealth, down to Milwaukee, throughout the Madison, and so on and so forth. So there was a sparkle at that time, and John's writing this letter 2 to 3 generations later. Isn't that interesting? Where does a church start to lose its emphasis? When does it start to grow cold? You know, we talk about the cold out there today, right? It's kind of damp, kind of chilly. It's going to get real cold. But God's looking at the hearts today. He's looking at each one of us. Are we living for what is right? I know as a pastor for myself, if I wasn't living right, I'd be the first person to step down from the pulpit. And, you know, because I have to answer to God. So I want to make sure my light is bright. As Jesus says, you want to make sure the lamp is up on a hill. Lamp that's covered on a hill. People cannot see. We're all lights today. We're all part of the church. And so we have churches that are beginning. We have 4 new churches here in the Commonwealth area that are starting out. And then, of course, we also have those churches that have gone since then. So, looking at Revelation chapter 2 now. And last week, of course, we looked at the glorified Christ. And we looked at, there were different comparisons with the baby Jesus, okay? Looking at him as being innocent, of course, being born in the manger, and of course, with him being the Almighty God as he was in the midst of the candlesticks. So remember, the Spirit of God gives life to churches and to each one of us. Don't take it for granted, my brethren. Life is a gift. It's precious. Use it. God gives you this day for a purpose. Okay? So, moving on here, we see that the angel, or the messenger of the church, which is John, is writing this down. And sometimes we take notes in our Bibles and we write things down throughout the day. God speaks to us. Sometimes it's better to write things down, right? Or we forget. I forget a lot. And I'm like, oh, I better write that down. I'm going to forget. Sometimes the Spirit of God tells us to call somebody, to reach out to somebody, to encourage somebody. Better do it then, because God never pushes his love. And so, you know, love is something that we need not take for granted. So the angel of the church of Ephesus, right, excuse me, these things, who takes the 7 stars in his right hand, he walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. So we see the correspondence there to the church. I know your works, and it's interesting in verse 2, I know your works. He says that to each church. I know your works. How you been working today? I'm asking everybody. You know, it's by faith through grace that we're saved and not of works. But also the Bible says too that people will know us by our works, by our deeds, by what we do. Okay? If you do it in the Spirit of Christ, you can't do wrong. because it's Christ working in you, the hope of glory, his glory. You want to glorify God today, right? And that's the purpose, to glorify him. So goes on to say here, I know your works, your labor, your patience. And I'm going to stop there. Thy works has the idea of our deeds, what we're doing. Our labor is our toil, what it costs. And our patience is our endurance. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Fight the good fight. You know, don't throw in the towel. No, get in there and give it your best. Not by my power, not by my work, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by his spirit. You got to go with the spirit, you know. It's got to mean something. And back in Acts, when the church was started during Paul's second missionary journey, he was having issues. Have you fought the good fight today, brethren? Have you kept the faith? Has it been a battle for you this week? I guarantee it has been. And so, but it says here in Acts 19:11-15, it says that your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. So there is a compliment here. He's saying, you know what, you're doing what's right. You know, when we talk with people, it's always good to compliment them, to help them, to strengthen them. Acts chapter 19:11-15 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of all. Remember, this is during the apostolic era. And many expositors believe this is going from around 35, 36 AD when the Church of Acts started on into 100 AD. But there are church historians who believe the apostolic era went further than that. So even though with handkerchiefs, with Paul or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, so this is a supernatural power of God, and the diseases left the evil spirits that went without them. And this is not talking about the clowns that are behind the pulpits today trying to get people, like I said last week, being slain in the spirit, like John was. Has the idea of being just totally knocked over like Daniel was. And you had others in the Bible, John, he was slain in the spirit and has the idea of the power of God, the mighty power of God. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out from them. And then some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Scibia, the Jewish chief priest, who did so. But the evil spirit answered back to these seven Jewish sons that were, the father was a Jewish priest. He says, Jesus I know, number one, and guess what? Paul, I know, but who are you? Then he leaped upon these seven sons and he tore their clothes off, humiliated them, and kicked them out. And so it just goes to show you the power of God. You know, when we talk about God, there are days when I just feel like I'm running through the motions. And where is my love? You know? And I ask you all today, where is our love? And there are times when I just stop and I'm like, I'm just so busy. Mind you, some of us work jobs, we're on schedule. I got that. You're going by faith and you're praying. You're constantly praying. But let me stop here for a minute. Are we just doing it just because we're going through the motions, or are we doing it because we really love the Lord? Think about first time you accepted, the only time you accepted Christ as your Savior. And the joy and the excitement. What happened to that over the years? I'm guilty too. I've got to stop and think, you know what? It's so much easier to love what you're doing instead of just going through the motions, right? It's so much easier. And that's why we need to pray. We need to pray for love, pray for faith. We'll get to that in a minute here. So there was that. And the church of Ephesus had lost its love. It was doing all the right things, but its heart was not into it. It didn't take very long before it lost its first love. And we have to be careful. So there was the works, the labor, the patience, and, you know, it could not bear those which were evil. And of course, you know, they were able to unmask the false teachers, the people who came in, like we're talking about in Sunday school. People came in like with a ooh and a wow, look at this. You know, talking about these great and wonderful things. There's a lot of, as my professor put it, a lot of hoopla. In other words, he used to call it hoopla. It was just like a bunch of stuff to make people like, oh, wow, you know, this is so neat. But where was the Spirit of God? It's like some people get so hyped up to music today. Music is beautiful. It's there to worship. But then some people go way overboard. And by the time you leave a church, you're just like, I just got a sugar high, didn't I? My spirit bore witness, but then there was something missing. And unfortunately, a lot of churches today miss out on more of the Word of God. So we see here there's a commendation to the church. So they Christ knew their works, their labor, their patience. They did not put up with false teachers. And you have tested those that say they are apostles and are not, found to them to be liars. So they persevered in patience. It was a courageous acceptance of hardship and suffering and loss, and still were faithful to the Lord. I'm reminded of this church or churches in Nigeria. Our president, whatever, and I'm not getting into politics here, but our president, he went out there on Christmas Day. Did you hear about that in the news? He dropped bombs over the ISIS. They had been slaughtering more Christians over there, and nobody's doing anything because the leaders are Muslims, which Muslim means to convert, by the way. And so I'm very thankful that they went in there because no one was doing anything. You want to make the devil's day today, don't do anything. Don't pray. Don't tell anybody about the Lord. You know, it's very, this is unpopular preaching today. Very unpopular to call out a truth and a lie. People don't want to hear it. But you know what? You do it in love, and that makes all the difference. Anyway, pray for the ISIS. Pray for the Muslims that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But when churches are gathering and they come in with their machetes and start hacking people apart for no reason and nobody does anything, and I'm thankful somebody can do something. You know your neighbor's lost and dying, going to hell, and Christmas is just like, oh, great. You know, oh, look at all this neat stuff. Look at all this fun stuff and this warm family stuff. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, where is Christ? I see less and less of it every year. It's the truth, okay? I'm not here this morning to make you feel good. I'm here to love you because I do love you. Then we see also that there was verse 3, that labored and not became weary. An early church father, Ignatius, he said, quote unquote, and he went to the church of Ephesus, and he said back in the first century A.D., and he said, wicked teachers came, and you closed your ears. Of course, he went on and on more to talk about. But the point is, he wouldn't even, the Christians would not allow them to come into their home. You don't do that with false teachers. There are many false teachers in Hollywood. There are false teachers in churches. They're everywhere, okay? And we have to be careful that we don't become false ones and we become speakers of truth. Okay, so there's that. And then we see in verse 4, says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So the idea in the original Greek is the idea of you left it. You didn't lose it, you left it. It was there. It was like sitting on the chair, like your hymn next to you. You left it there. You didn't use it, you know. And then, also the idea is to quit or forsake. Why? Why do we do that? Because I think we get so busy that we forget. And my goodness, we all forget, don't we? I mean, easy enough to be said than done. In Jeremiah chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3, Jeremiah, remember, was a priest's son. He was a teenager when the Lord came to him. And he loved the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And he loved his neighbor too. As we know, the law hangs the laws and the prophets. Jeremiah, we see here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord." This is the prophet speaking. "I remember you, the kindness of your youth." He's talking about Israel at this time. "The love of your betrothal." In other words, I loved you like a wife. It's like Christ is what? The husband. The church is like the wife. "When you went after me in the wilderness, the land not sown." Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of the increase. "All that devour him will offend. Disasters will come upon them, saith the Lord." Stop. Verse 3, stop. Because after that, in chapter 2, he's hitting them head on and rebuking them for them walking away. They lost their first love. If it happened to Israel, it can happen to the church. If it happened to the church, it can happen to us. It can happen all day long if we don't repent. Because it says also, in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. It has the idea of we were on fire, the flame was going, and all of a sudden the flame went out, the wax stopped being warm, it became cold. You know, it's like a lifeless candle. You got to have a match to spark it. You need to have the Holy Spirit to spark us, to get us alive, to warm us up. Then we see here in verse 5, "Remember therefore where you have fallen." And also we see here, "Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent." Number one, you need to remember where you have been. And also to repent has the idea of an about face. You know, if you had an illustration, I remember in the military, you coming up and you would stand there, remember in boot camp, put your right foot behind this foot here and bring it up forward like that and go the other way. It's the very first things you remember in boot camp. They try to make you work as a group, because if you don't work together in world warfare, you're toast, you're done. That's why I don't put up with people in the military who go AWOL, or people don't work together, because somebody could get killed. So, one, you have to remember, and you need to repent, and then you go back to what your first works were. And some of us get so busy, we become so complacent, we become barren with a busy life. I have seen some people are just so busy, they look so unhappy. The other day, a soccer mom almost ran me over because she was so busy. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to run into you, you know." But she had a whole caravan of kids. And you know, the soccer mom, my head goes off to them. They're so busy. I'm like, "Go, mom, go," you know. So busy, but she didn't seem to be too happy. But the kids were pumping her up. say, you know, hanging off of her, and she was holding the baby, and a couple of them hanging around, you know. So let me look at this. Remember where you have fallen in verse 5. You can go for hours and days without having more than a passing thought of Jesus. You don't have a strong desire to spend time with him. Number 3, you don't have a strong hunger for the Word of God. Number 4, you're spending time in prayer, but it's rather a duty than a delight. Your worship is formal, dry, lifeless, merely going through the motions. Private prayer and worship are almost non-existent. One of my favorite musicians is Keith Green. I love Keith. I remember him back in the early 80s after I got saved. And there's a song that he sung called "My Eyes Are Dry." My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. Keith Green. Lord took him home in an airplane crash. So easy to get old, isn't it? We're all getting old. I hope we're still young at heart. By the way, don't let anybody despise you, you know, and put you down. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Also, we need to repent and do our good works. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all thy soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all laws and the prophets." You shall, it is a command, not an option, number one. It's not an option for us whether we love God or not, because we know he loved us first. Number 2, with all that, it's a qualifying command. It's with everything, without holding anything back. Number 3, your heart, your soul, your mind, your heart, your spirit, your innermost being. Number 2, or point B, your soul, your desires, your emotions, your imaginations, your thoughts. Say, my goodness, how can I do all that? Remember, you got to empty yourself. And let God fill you. Number 3, your mind, your understanding, your intellect. Number 4, your strength, your physical ability. God works it all out. He molds you and shapes you as the potter with the clay, and he'll make you as you are. The idea of love is agape love. It's the strongest love, the unconditional, highest form of love. Repent, do your good works. I like this, 1 Corinthians 13 about love. How do you lose your love? Well, there's plenty about love, God says in the Bible. This is put out by the Passion Translation. I did check, I did the construction, I did the homework. And it is true to the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says this: love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Verse 5. Love does not traffic its shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it is never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up or quits. That's the love that this church was losing. It was just going through the regular, you know, have you ever seen a hamster on a wheel before? Run, 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 run. You're like, my goodness, these things are crazy. Okay, all they do is eat, run, run, run. God wants us to stop, give thanks, and know godliness with contentment. Be content. Rest in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And then says also in Hebrews, we need to rest in Him. You know, you can rest while you're busy too, because God gives you the peace that passeth all understanding. So, verse 5, you know, you need to go ahead and do this. Remember where you have fallen, repent, and do your first works. Lest I come to you quickly and remove you from the lampstand from its place, unless you repent. The about face. Okay? Verse 6. But this you have, and that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You know, God's a God of love, and also He hates those things, which is contrary to Him. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. We're all sinners, but we're saved by the grace of God. Nicolaitans, what they believed back in the day is that they did away with the Old Testament. And you think, my goodness, the devil doesn't waste any time. Of course not. He has a design on you. I do not remember the verse and chapter in Corinthians. But he has a design. He wants to take you down. He wants to destroy you. And let me tell you, the way he works, he tries to work in my life. I've seen this happen year after year after year. He works a little bit at a time. So he just takes you down a little bit at a time. If you're not worried, if you're not awake, excuse me, and sober and paying attention, he's going to take you down until one day you wake up and say, what happened? What happened? I had everything I needed or wanted, and God blessed, and all, now it's all gone. You know, our testimony. So what they said, no Old Testament teaching. We have all liberty in Christ that we have. We can do whatever we want. And what their false heretical teaching was is that the soul, which is you, and your spirit is what? What God breathes in you, and your body is your flesh that you're looking at today. He's saying, look, their heretical teaching was like the body can do whatever it wants, which is lasciviousness. It means the flesh out of control. And it was heretical teaching. The word Nicolaitans comes from Nico, that means to conquer. And Laos means people. Early on, there was an effort to set up a system of ecclesiastical rulership. Ecclesiastical is not evil in itself. It's the rulership. It's those who were in charge. You had the popes, the bishops, the cardinals. And so, and we'll find out about this next week, that the Church of Pergamos allowed this to come in. And I'll tell you, this is what I'm going to say. I've had some people leave this church because they told me, you offended me because you don't love the Catholics. And I said, I do love the Catholics. I don't agree with their doctrine. I said, we have former Catholics here. Don't you get it? And they're like, no, young man, one person said to me. And when somebody calls you a young man, and it's a compliment, you know, I'm in my 60s, I'm sure, call me a young man any day. I love it, you know. No, it's an insult. You look it up in a dictionary, it means you're insulting that person. So I was just smiled graciously, and I was just like, I hope that guy doesn't get suckered by it one day, because he'll say it to the wrong person, and he's not going to like it. Okay? Well, anyway, I hope the best. Anybody who leaves a church, I pray for the best. And, you know, people have all kinds of reasons. People visit churches. Nothing wrong with that. I pray for people who visit churches. Hopefully God will find the right one for them. It's not up to me. It's up to them and the Lord. And I do pray. And it's a very difficult thing to go through, too. My heart goes out to those. So he's commending them, saying, look, you know, you're doing a great job here. Verse 7, as we're winding down here. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory we have. You know, oh, victory in Jesus. You know, we get into that. It's funny how God brings songs to your heart when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're reading God's word, that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? It's our faith. We go by faith. Because you know what? Next week at this time, there'll be another preacher be behind here. Brian will be here. And we can look back at our week and say, Lord, how's it been? How's it been with me? You know? So we will be an overcomer who overcomes. And I will give to eat from the tree of life and in the midst of the paradise of God. We don't have time to get into Revelation chapter 22, but I will tell you this. There are two trees, remember, in the Garden of Eden. One was called what? The tree of good and evil, and I call that the bad tree. And of course, Adam wasn't doing his job. He should have interceded there for Eve, and because Adam was supposed to be watching over Eve, it was the spiritual leader. And then, of course, you had the tree of life, which they could freely eat of. And in Revelation chapter 22, that's going to happen down the road. We'll get to that. That was a time where they could eat freely thereof, okay, to sustain life. And so God is encouraging us today, saying we have become overcomers, and eventually we will be back in that garden, so to speak, before the throne of God. We will be back to where Adam and Eve were, because Jesus was made, what, the second Adam. He was without sin, and he was given that for us. So, in conclusion, saying this, okay, when does your love grow cold? Number one, by loving the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world and loves not the Father, is not in him. For all the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not in the Father, but is in the world. That can draw you away. That will take the life out of you. It will take your first love. Number two is not loving your neighbor. Oh, a person offended me. Oh, you know. Oh, yeah, we get hurt. We get offended. I got that. We all do. And it's very upsetting when people hurt us. But 1 John 4, 7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. If anyone loves is born of God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We should love one another regardless. It has the idea we love as Christ has loved us. It has the only expectation that I can gather from this is that he loved me first, and that if he forgave me, how much more should I forgive one another? You know, who am I to be anything when he's everything because he gave his life? I should give my life to my brother and sister in the Lord. Because that's what love is, friends. And then thirdly, it's by our faith and not ourselves. Hebrews 11:6 is a close. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is rewarded for those who diligently seek him. Believe that he exists in love. God is love. We should worship him in truth and spirit. Number two, believe that he is all that he has revealed himself to be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And three, believe that he is rewarded for those who diligently seek him. God will give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in him. Delight yourself. I see that today in church, the smiles and the love and the happiness and the true in-depth love that we have. So we need, if there's sin, we need to remember, repent, and return. And I'll close with this. And this is a verse we all know. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with love. I'll put in my two bits. With all your heart. That means body, soul, and spirit. And lean not into your own understanding. You know, when you get yourself in the way, we all get ourselves in trouble. And acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. We have many paths to take over the holidays, right? And Satan's always going to try to throw up roadblocks. He's going to make us try to stumble and fall over. But we get up, and He's going to try to deceive us. And Christ will direct ourselves in the Spirit. So pray that this holiday we don't become cold, and pray that we'll be on fire for the Lord. And even when we're tired, God still gives us a spark. He's still there regardless. And let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, we can become old and tired and weak. Lord, we thank You that You've given us Your love, Your Spirit. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, dear God, that the story, the truth, and the way and the life, God, that You are to us. We just thank You for this letter that John had to send to the church of Ephesus. These things right. I know Your works. And all the things that we're doing right, Lord, help us to dig down into ourselves today during this holiday season. I know we're very busy, and it's about Christ's birth, and we're thankful for that. But also, too, it's real easy to forget why You are who You are, because You are God and You are love. And we thank You for that. Lord, better that than with Your second coming, and You're going to become as the judge, and people will mourn during the second coming. Well, we look forward to the rapture. You're going to come so quick. The sound of a trumpet, the sound of Christ's voice. You will come and You will call us up. Come hither. Come up. And it will happen so quickly as a thief in the night. Help us to be ready. Help us to get our sins under the blood. Help us to love as You loved us, one another. And we thank You so much for this time of year to remember what You have done for us. The beginning for eternity. It's a new life. Help us to live it. Give us wisdom. Give us sound mind. Help us not to be double-minded. We just pray for those who are in line, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you will come to know Jesus. You know, and he was born to die on the cross. He died, and He was buried, and He was resurrected. And we give You thanks and the praise. Thank You for the music as we continue to worship and celebrate this time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.